Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, this is Terry Laundry. This is our April 14th listen file, which relates to the two charts which are provided above. The short-term chart brings us up to date on the short-term forecast with respect to the topping at the 55-day moving average, which is now 1186 on the cash S&P. And below that, we have the intermediate term chart, which is looking for a low around the, which has a bullish support trend line. And that's around the 1156 level. That's generally a downside target for a bull market correction. And sometimes it gets taken out a little bit, but that's where you generally find the support. Also, in this report, I want to answer a few of the questions, which I haven't been able to address in prior updates. For example, what is the data to use? I did provide a new web link, which is at the lower left of the TypePad page, which is the data that I actually use. It's usually not complete until 5 p.m. And sometimes not till 6 p.m. But it's an interesting page. It has a lot of very fine data on it. What I usually do is I copy the page after the data is completed, and then I post it into a notebook, and I can always refer back to the data and keep a record of it. But you're welcome to use that, and but that's, in any case, to answer the question, that's where I get my data. We also address the question, what happens if the 39-week moving average is taken out on the downside? What do you do in the case of when the NASDAQ is weak? T's is tea leaf reading. Changing the volume oscillator calculations, which is not a good idea. And why my 55-day MA might be different on the S&P 500 than the one that you calculate. Well, let's first turn to the short-range T chart. The important element right now here is the fact that you did top out on the 55-day moving average, which now became resistance to the upside, just as it's the failure going through suggested that the trend had changed. The important elements for developing the forecast is the green downtrend line, which I call a cash buildup line, and the rising bottoms red line, which I call the accumulation line. In general, the whole purpose of the volume oscillator is to get the descending tops pattern to find out what the left side of the next T is, but what you're really looking for there is pent-up demand, and that signifies that pent-up demand has been going on for what would be some number of months here. And then as this pent-up demand is getting ready to re-enter the market, we should see something which we generally call accumulation, which is signified by a rising bottoms pattern. The bottoms patterns need to rise in the volume oscillator at the same time the prices are making new lows, otherwise it's not an accumulation pattern. In our last update, I pointed out that there was very little upside potential, and the blue volume oscillator came up close to the green line. It's come down now. It may be going back to the red line, but I still think it has a tendency to want to rally one more time, just based on the cyclical patterns. So I would say that, you know, it's likely to be choppy action, and you know, if it's down a lot, it might rally for a few days. But the 1186 level becomes the new resistance level, so it could get a little bit above it, but it won't stay there very long. And we just have to let the pattern develop as the convergence in this triangle pattern with a downward sloping cash buildup line and the upward accumulation line bring us into the apex of what will become the new T. Now let's talk about some of these, developing the forecast in reference to some of these questions. Now what about the weak NASDAQ? The NASDAQ was weaker before, and that's generally, if you can't make a bullish case for it, and it's above the 39-week moving average, would plan the thing was going to go down to the 39-week moving average anyway. So that would have told you that there was a problem for that, which then overloaded into the rest of the market. The 39-week moving average as a support level for a bull market is more promising when the moving average is pointed up. So when you're dealing with a weak NASDAQ area or any other area that's weak, if the 39-week moving average is moving down, it can be taken as a definition of a long-term trend, for practical purposes. And so you should stay away from the areas that look like the 39-week moving average is pointed down, because that's the big case where you're likely to take out the 39-week moving average, since it's not a bull market. In the present case, we have advanced decline T's which reliably say that they should not take up the 39-week moving average, but they always do it. If you look back to the period in 04, you saw that we did kind of take it out, and if you look back at some of the other periods during the great bull market period, you'll see that what it does is it gets below the line by a small amount, and then it turns around. The main thing to do is to look for a decline to the 39-week moving average. Expect it to probably go a little bit, and then switch to the short range T chart in order to pick up the accumulation pattern and prepare for the breakout to see what's going to go on. Now, the T's as tea leaf reading, there's a certain amount of truth to that, even if you believe in T's. And the problem is that short-range T's are not the most reliable because they deal with emotional news and other short-term effects and very often can't carry out their projections. However, long-range T's are usually based on fundamentals, and they can usually overcome things, so that the long-range T's are generally quite reliable on the projections. But most people are interested in the short-term picture, and the way you get around that is to switch to the envelope channels, because they will take care of you pretty much on the short-term trend better than the short-range T analysis. The exception to that case is the cash buildup line. The cash buildup line is already fairly impressive, but we haven't probably seen the final selling, so there's going to be some bad things coming in here. But if you wait, you'll begin to see the accumulation picking the bottoms pattern up, and you'll begin to get compressed into the apex of a triangle. And that's the place where you can make a judgment that you are approaching a very high reward to risk ratio, because the market will be low and the upside potential will be greater. It's much too early to speculate on when that's going to be, but you should know it when you see it. So we'll just follow these patterns into their logical conclusion. The fact that you have a long cash buildup line, which goes, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 months plus, and could be 6 or 7 months, could mean that the new rally is going to go up 5, 6 months. But you don't really bet on that one, because that's a little bit short. What you really are looking for is a run up to the high on the weekly chart, so that you, if you make a low a little under the 39-week moving average and you start to cut this trend line, the upper objective, which is now 1239 and will change in time on the S&P, that's more the more reliable case. Whether you want to make all those months or not depends on the momentum, and so you have to wait and see what the momentum looks like. Now, to wind up this report, changing the volume oscillator calculations because some of my data is different than yours is not a good idea. Just let your calculations run. Be consistent, getting the same data from the same place at the roughly the same time. Put in the equations and let them go. The exponential moving averages are quite forgiving, and they will tend to track the same general pattern, but the numbers may be slightly higher or slightly lower, but what you're in the end, what you're looking for is a descending tops pattern, and if you change the calculations, you can upset you're using different formulas, and any one formula will give you the descending tops pattern, and any one set of data will give you the rising bottoms pattern correctly. So don't worry about it. Later when I redo this chart, I'll put some more intermediate steps in the short range chart, which will make it a little bit easier, but don't worry about that. Just let consistency be your guide and look at the pattern. Now, why the 55-day moving average is different probably is because when I wrote this program, I decided to use the average between the high and the low for the day on the S&P rather than the closing level. And I did that because at the time I was doing the program, it seemed to be a better way to do it. But I'll have to check into that. And it's probably some simple step, and in fact, it's a couple points one way or the other. Doesn't matter, because nothing is that exact on any of these numbers anyway. So that winds it up for today. So I think the market may try to do a few more rallies over the next week or two, but it'll have to turn down and eventually become an oversold condition before you get a buy point. Thank you.